This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Do I just talk or does...
That's what you want.
When you first read this script, did you get lost? Did you go back and went... Okay. Did you just read it straight through and just get it immediately?
Well, I didn't. I don't think I get it. I don't think, to be honest, I got it at any point in time. I still don't think I get it. Really. But I like the concept of it, and I liked... I was kind of touched by the story of the family.
Right.
And the story of the family was kind of the integral part of the movie to me, because without that you didn't have kind of the body of the movie. I mean, we can all do, you know, you can do the psychological drama thing, and you can do all that kind of stuff, and you can make it look fancy and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't have some kind of basis, some kind of reality behind it, then I think you're missing something. And so for me it was really more kind of about this couple, this husband and wife, that... You know, I hadn't communicated for a very long period of time and really didn't know how to communicate anymore. And, you know, there was this kind of void in their relationship, and at the same time they're taking care of two kids, you know. One of them's doing one thing, taking care of the house and the kids, the other's taking care of the finances and all that kind of stuff. And that was just something that I kind of felt like I could relate to, and I thought it was very sad, you know. And then to actually make a choice to, you know, instead of like have an affair, run away, get a divorce, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, whatever it may be, they actually made a choice to get back together and come back together, and I thought that was an interesting kind of way to look at it.
With all the kind of emotionally driven, intense scenes, what was the mood like with Sandra and you on the set behind the scenes? Like, what was it like?
Mood was very variable. It depended on what was going on. I had a lighter schedule than her, obviously, because, you know, she's in kind of, I think, every frame of the movie, right? So she was there every day, all day. So I had to be a little kind of careful, just because I'd be out playing golf or, you know, sampling the local cuisine or whatever, you know what I mean? And I'd come in and go, hey, just fantastic restaurant down here. And they'd be like, get out of here, you know? So, but I had, you know, you got to be a little sensitive to the fact that she's going through what she's going through. So sometimes it would be a little, it was tense, you know? And sometimes it was tense when the two of us were on set. You know, we had pretty tense scenes. We had that scene that kind of got cut down to a pretty small scene, but that scene where I'm cleaning up the glass, it was an intense scene, and it was like the mood was bad. It was bad all night long. And it was so bad that we didn't even get the scene right, we don't think. We went back and reshot it because we didn't feel like we got it. Everyone was just so angry. And the scene was a lot longer and a lot more kind of intense or whatever. But, and then like the first scene of the movie was the first scene we actually shot.
I mean,
and that was just kind
saying,
of a giddy kind of scene, you know what I mean? And so that was fun. We were just laughing around, having a good time. Well, plus, it was our first day shooting.
No, you aren't saying everybody was angry off camera as well, were you?
Oh, no. But the mood, well, maybe.
Tell me.
Was there any levity?
Anyway?
Did you have any time? You know, was it all always intense?
No, not at all. But it's a pretty intense movie, and it's a pretty intense role, and you know, you do have to play. Once we got into that house, we had that house, me and Sandy and the two kids, and it just felt like this little family that we had. I mean, it just was weird, you know what I mean? And you had to, I felt like we had to say a lot without actually doing and saying a lot. So we had to, that void that I was talking about before, that kind of had to be there no matter what. So you have to be able to play that, you know what I mean? So it does create a certain mood, you know what I mean? It's not like her shooting one of her fun movies, you know what I mean? It's a little different.
Nevertheless, if your car was stalled in the middle of the highway, and an 18...
Very close. Very close.
And an 18-wheeler was roaring towards you, would
yes.
you try to start the damn thing?
I'd get out of the damn thing. I don't know.
Did you question that scene?
Well, you know, I can't remember what ended up in the movie. I mean, it felt like I was there for 20 minutes and going, all right, where are my keys? Why can't I stand it? All right, why am I not getting in? You can't get out because it's jammed. It's jammed. Okay. How long's it jammed for? You know, it was like, I had to play that for a very long period of time. They're like, do it again. I'm like, I feel like a goose here. Let me just, this is ridiculous. And, you know, you have to kind of put your faith in the fact that the director's going to make it work and the editor's going to make it work. But yeah, you know, I would have attempted an escape route differently. Yeah. I would have smashed my head through the damn window. You know, if it came to that. But whatever, you know, wouldn't have made the movie.
Why is it taking you so long to make a big movie? I mean, you've done Charmed, you're Nip Tuck, you're a big, big star, and you haven't done any movies during your hiatuses. Why?
Well, firstly, when you're doing a TV series like Charmed or Profile or something like that, you know, which pretty much was my bread and butter for, you know, a good 10 years, 8 years, whatever it was, right? You don't have time. You know, you're shooting usually 10 to 11 month season, right? And so your 1 month is just your month of recuperation. And, you know, there are also different types of shows. Like when I was on Profile, I had the opportunity. I got asked to do a couple of movies, but they wouldn't let me out of my contract. They wouldn't let me. And that, whereas, like, now at FX and with, you know, the way that I work on Nip Tuck, you know, I was able to shoot Fantastic Four and Nip Tuck at the same time. It was a grueling schedule, and that's something I'd like to do often, but, you know, at least, you kind of work things out. And then with Nip Tuck, you got 6 months of the year. You know, because we shot this movie for 5 months. You know what I mean? So Nip Tuck is that schedule where we're shooting 13 to 16 episodes a year. So you get 6 months off and 6 months on. So you get 6 months to go do what you want, you know, and you could do 2 months on a film and 3 months off, or 6 months on a movie, and do you know what I mean? So it just kind of comes down to, and then, you know, choices that you make, you know what I mean? I mean, I made the choice to go on Charmed, which I never regret whatsoever because I loved working on that show. And the people were just fantastic. In fact, it was one of the greatest experiences I've had in the business. But, what was I saying?
Why you don't do a lot of big movies?
Oh, yeah, no, it was something else. I was on some other... Oh, yeah, that choice. You know, that choice I made just because I just had a baby and just got married. You know what I mean? So I felt like I needed to make money at that point in time. So it's not like I could just go, well, let's all move us to a apartment down on Yucca, and and I won't take a job for the next 2 years and just wait for the film to come. You know what I mean? You kind of have to make different choices for different things.
And now you're coming back on Nip Tuck. How is Christian going to rule L.A.?
Did you see the last episode of Us Under the Hollywood Sign?
Yeah.
Wasn't that hysterical?
But it's a big change.
I mean, it's very rare that you get to shoot that sign. I thought it was pretty incredible. You know, I don't really know exactly what we're doing. We're going to have a sit down in the next few weeks, and talk about what we're doing. But they had, you know, they set up their practice right on Rodeo Drive, which is obviously pretty central to where you think it should be. And then it's funded by Rosie O'Donnell's character, and it's going to be fun. A lot of great characters are good.
Obviously, going to be a very different environment for the guys, though. I mean, do you think the LA scene is going to phase Christian's way with women? Like, will he face some resistance?
I don't think so. I don't think resistance is going to be a part of it, no.
He'll still be Christian.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, he's evolved a lot over the series, you know, the 4 years, but, you know, I don't think he's ever had any resistance. And I don't think that's going to stop. That's the fun of the character. Yeah. I mean, basically it is.
Yeah. I'd like to jump into Fantastic Four 2 for a second. Yeah. I've heard that Doom has a more classic look. Can you talk about his look in the film, and can you talk about, do you have any scenes with the Silver Surfer, and what are you allowed to say?
And will you say?
Wow, how many?
I asked a lot there. But
yeah, you have. I'm really slow, okay? Firstly, I can't stop looking at your fingernails and your... That's very cool. How long did you grow your beard for?
This is a clip-on.
Oh, it's a clip-on? The beard?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. Very cool. What is it? Kind of got? It's not? Is he lying?
Yeah, it's real.
Oh, very funny. You got me.
The classic look of Doom in the new movie.
The classic look of Doom. Well, it's weird, man, because first of all, you start with this Dr. Doom has been in a casket for a couple of years and, you know, wakes up 3 years, 2 years later or whatever, you know, and he's pretty pissed off, and he kind of just rips off his mask and all that kind of stuff, and he gets very ugly. And then he, you know, he's got his, like, lair set up in some castle in Latveria, right? And, you know, we're talking comic book stuff, so you have to kind of go with all of this kind of stuff. And with all his monitors and stuff, I don't know where he got them all from, but they're pretty cool. He sees this kind of entity, which is the Silver Surfer. And you know, just knowing the comic books, I mean, Dr. Doom's Dr. Doom, and so what does he do? He goes and tries to destroy everybody and get everybody's powers and all that kind of stuff. That's basically what the character's about. But then Dr. Doom becomes me for a certain period of time, which I think is very strange, but let's not get into that. And then the final costume is this pretty amazing costume. It's a similar kind of mask, but it's a kind of a larger type fit. And probably a little more sturdy kind of look to it. It's very chest. It's a very heavy outfit. It was weighed about 45 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever. Without the cape and stuff. But it's pretty extraordinary. It's a darker suit than the one that he had last time. It's kind of more Batman-esque in a way, you know. But with the mask, it's obviously very Dr. Doom. But it's a great looking outfit, and he's got like, I got, oh god, I can't remember him. Anyway, look, I got so many outfits, it's ridiculous.
So even with all the new characters, they still give you a lot to do as Dr. Doom.
Yeah, I had quite a lot to do, actually. Because he went through all these different transformations, you know. Different to what happens in the comic or the cartoon. But we kind of just had to make it applicable for some reason, I don't know.
Have you always been a fan of the comic?
Like, I have, yeah. Fantastic Four particularly, yeah.
What did you like about it?
I don't know. I think maybe I just liked the fact that there were four people with different types of powers. You know, but I was a big fan of other stuff, too. I was a big fan of Batman and Spider-Man and Superman. But Fantastic Four particularly, and I got into it actually with the cartoons. We used to watch the cartoons every morning. And I don't know, maybe it was the teamwork, and I don't know, it was just good.
One last question on this movie.
Is this why we're here? Because
we're
sitting here.
You and Sandy, and he would talk in German, and you go, "What is the schnitzel talking?" Did they do that a lot? And you go, "Talk in English."
They did it a lot. Whenever they felt like they wanted to leave me out of something, they'd talk German. So it was very upsetting. It was very annoying. So I came up with this whole character. It was Hitler's coiffer. That I started to become. So I became Hitler's coiffer, and I became up with this whole German accent, and I was like, I don't know, I was commenting on Hitler's mustache and how we should cut it a little shorter and a little tighter.
Can you give us a demonstration?
No. We're going to make a movie about Hitler's coiffer.
I have to ask a question about this movie's brought to mind a movie, a temporal romantic, you know, anomaly movie, Another Day, you made a few years ago. Any memories of making that particular film, and how was that shooting?
Making that film?
Yeah.
Well, that was good fun shooting it. I didn't think about it at all when I was making this movie. Mm-hmm. I thought they're very separate things, obviously. But no, that was an opportunity for me to play a very different character. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it was a very kind of quiet, sweet guy, and I hadn't got the opportunity to play a guy like that before. And, you know, I just enjoy shooting. I mean, just, you know, I like going to different places. You know, like this movie, we went to Louisiana and shot in Shreveport. And I've loved, you know, just kind of absorbing yourself in the culture of the place that you get to go to. And I did that with that movie. We shot in Winnipeg in Canada.
Where I'm from.
Is that where you're from?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great city, great place. Weird place, though. I mean,
yeah.
This place is the weirdest place on Earth, right? It's like so cold for 9 months of the year, right? That nobody goes out. You can't go out. And then for what, three, four?
Yeah.
No, you can't. I swear to God. They go, your eyeballs freeze over. That was the thing on the news. It's like, don't go out, your eyeballs will freeze over. And then when it gets warm, it's like they have those worms that drop out of the sky, right?
What?
I mean, worms drop out of the sky. I mean, it's weird, the weirdest thing ever. And literally, you'll come out and your car will be covered in these worms about this big. And then they have mosquitoes the size of cats, right? So everybody's house is like, got this kind of mesh thing around. It's like, don't go out, no, the mosquitoes are out there, you.
Compared to other actresses you work with, can you talk about working with Sandra Bullock? Dynamics.
I wouldn't want to compare it to anybody, but just working with her is, you know, I've been as big of a Sandy fan as everybody else has for however long we've known her for, you know, and I've admired her work from a distance for a long time, and like other actors that I've admired, I'd, you know, love to have had the opportunity to work with her, and I got this opportunity. You know, this was a great kind of movie for me, because it's a little different, and I've been working in television for a long time, and it's also different to the Fantastic Four stuff and whatever else, but we went down there 3 weeks early, and we just hashed out everything, you know, me, the director, Sandy, the writer, all just sat around a table and talked for 3 weeks about what we thought was a way to deal with this movie, what were our thoughts and feelings about it, and what we thought about our characters, each other's characters, and so everything just got laid out on the table, and you know, so I really got to work with her in a very kind of deep and thoughtful way, you know what I mean? And we go in and do scenes, and me and Manon and Sandy would sit around and talk for an hour and a half. You know, the crew would go off and eat and do what they wanted to, and we'd go and talk for an hour and a half or 2 hours about what we thought the scene was about. We got that luxury. Manon gave us that luxury. And then Sandy and I were consistently talking about things. Whenever we thought about something, call each other or, you know, just talk about it or whatever. And, you know, so, you know, you really got to, you know, we both do what we do because we love it, right? And so it's kind of one of the most important things in your life, aside from, you know, your children, your family, and your really good friends. So to work with somebody like that in that kind of capacity is really kind of getting to know them in a very significant way, you know. And then on top of that, she's just an absolutely extraordinary person.
One last nip-top question. What were your expectations for that show when you started? Did you think it would be a one-season wonder or what?
Last question.
I didn't ask anything. I didn't know if it would go past the pilot. You know, I mean, I knew that it would have a different kind of support system because it was on FX than it would anywhere else. You know, unless it was HBO or something like that. But you know, you just don't know. I mean, I thought it was pretty out there.
It's and on a main network in Canada, you know.
Oh, is it? What is it on?
CTV.
CTV.
Yeah.
So the way they cut it down for that, or do you have different regulations?
No. They did The Sopranos.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it's obviously a different thing there, but. No, I didn't know. I mean, all I felt like was it was a pretty great character to play, and what I felt like was a well written pilot, and it was I knew that I was going to have commitment for only 6 months a year if it did actually go into a series,
which gave you freedom,
which gave me freedom to do other things, which is what we were talking about before, and I really was a fan of The Shield and the way that they kind of delivered that show and executed that show, and I felt like you know if there was any place to be. You know, it was kind of the right place.
As a comic book fan, how cool is it to have Galactus in the movie?
Sorry. I can't go there.
Would you sign this for me?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's out.
Oh, it is? Oh, well, I can sign that. That's me. Oh, who cares? I care. No, sorry, but I fucked it up a little bit on the thing there. I went on
your it's okay. I know it's you.
Who went there?
Yoan Griffith.
Yoan?
Yeah, he told me.
Doesn't mean I am.
They yelled at him.
I bet they did.